The Web Wake Up Show, we're coming up on a 5:45, which around here means time for the best 5 minutes of the day. And it's our friend Jason Kanz, who may say that he's a neuropsychologist by day, but early morning, before he does neuropsychology, he's doing radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, yesterday was one of our shortest ones ever. I got to say, you know, we say the best 5 minutes of the day, and I carve it up, and it leads off the podcast almost every day at wib.com. And we almost go past five. A lot of times it's 6 minutes and or longer. And yesterday was 4 minutes and 23 seconds. So I guess we're getting more concise.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Maybe we're just trying to average it out. No. I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing to, I like to kind of, it's like pepper. You know, we just, Pepper, the baseball game where you just kind of they're quickly hitting the ball and trying to field, and we're just kind of covering some subjects. And as I just talked to you this morning, I said, we'll see what comes out of my mouth. I mean, I have various thoughts. It's weird. I think of you and I'm like, oh, I'd like to ask Jason this. I'd like to ask Jason this. So,
We managed to cover a lot in 4 minutes and 23 seconds or 7 minutes or however long we go.
Right. So I'm training Sam Aberle here this morning, and he's learning the ropes here in the early morning and finding out there's a lot of Wib and Wogel responsibilities. What about you? Do you have, like, interns in the neuropsychology department at Marshfield Clinic, and you do some training sometimes?
I haven't had an intern for a long time. I do get medical students who will come and shadow me once in a while, which is kind of fun, you know, I think because they're in a little bit of a different field, and so they get to come and see the sort of work that I do. And, you know, I've had a couple of them say, boy, I really wish maybe I had gone into neuropsychology instead. So that always makes me feel good when I'm able to give them that experience and they can see kind of what happens on my side of the world.
What's it like for you, like, when you meet somebody? Like, for me, I mean, what do you do? And I'm like, I do radio in the morning, and then I'm an account manager for One Source Imaging. But, like, when you say that you're neuropsychologist, you see people kind of go get impressed?
I mean, there's a piece of that. There's usually the response is a neuro what? because they have no idea what a neuropsychologist is. And so I will explain to them, you know, I'm somebody who works with individuals who have brain disorders, you know, things like dementia and head injuries. I think there's an impressed piece, but I think there's also a confused, well, I have no idea what you're talking about piece that comes along with it.
Was there a particular year when all of a sudden it just seemed like just the information boom on the brain here just kind of took off?
Well, you know, I think George Bush had the, George Bush II had the decade of the brain during his presidency. And so that was certainly a big push to understand brain science better. But, you know, over the last several years, it's just particularly with things like functional MRI scans, we've just seen a huge increase in our understanding of the brain and the role it plays in basically everything that we do.
Okay, so guess what? I guess I kind of missed that. I did not know George W. Bush had the decade of the brain. How did I miss that?
He did. I don't know. That was, I think so that would have been, what, the 2000s?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to blame it on what we blame everything on. The liberal media didn't report on it.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing I heard about it because, of course, that was right in the middle of my training and and so, you know, we knew that was what was going on. But
All right, Mr. Brainiac, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 today.
Yeah, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross.
Mm-hmm. And in your wonderful devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, can I strike up a little more music, please? We're not done yet. I know how easy it is for you to leave the road of faith. Legalists try to convince you to add actions and behaviors to faith alone to earn your salvation by using tricky words and verses out of context. You have seen the truth about my son and that he was crucified for your sins. You have been convinced not only of the reality of the cross, but of its necessity. That takes faith. Final thought.
Yeah, you know, a friend of mine asked, so the Calvinists will talk about the five solas, and she asked, what is your favorite of the five solas? And I said, sola gratia, which is by grace alone. And I think it's, you know, there's so much of this where we want to add stuff to salvation, and it really comes back to we're saved by grace alone.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, reading this, I think of John Pulley, used to work with Fierce Freedom, and he's headed back to his home state of Arkansas, but he really kind of embodied Galatians, and I called him the walking book of Galatians, and I know he would just get a kick out of that, but I mean, it's just the idea that it is certainly a book, and reading this makes me go, you know what, this week or this weekend, I should read through Galatians again, because I mean, just that idea of, I think we summed it up in that verse, what it's about, right? It is about freedom, and it's not having it, Jesus plus and Jesus but is no longer Jesus.
Right, absolutely.
There we go.
100%.
We like to cut through the
fog.
I'm
guessing we went longer than 4 minutes.
I think we did. I think I made a purpose of it. Thank you, Jason. All right, I had a chance to record with Melissa Walczak yesterday from the Red House of Hope, there's an event going on next Thursday evening at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire that is billed as the Justina Schumer Annual Mental Health Addiction Awareness Benefit for the Red House of Hope. That's a mouthful. I talked with Melissa about it. She explains a bit more.
Well, first of all, the Red House of Hope it's a nonprofit, 501c, and so it was developed back in 2020, and so really our vision is to bring hope to those struggling with mental health, addiction, poverty, and we're promoting and providing a mentorship program, referral services, and community well-being events. And we are moving into purchasing a retreat center that is just truly going to bring hope back to the community and beyond. It is for everyone to be able to use, and there's just so much more that goes along with that, but you're going to be able to get more information on that at this annual. It's going to be an annual mental health and addiction awareness benefit. And so again, that time is June 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. And so just join us. Join us to bring hope to the community and beyond. We're going to have some testimonials on hope and healing. And then we are going to have the Eau Claire Health Department that is going to be coming and present to us. And really, it's going to be, what do you know about opioids, and it's recognizing and responding to opioid overdoses, safe opioid medication storage, where to dispose of unused medications. I mean, that's even your prescription medications. And so they're going to have Narcan nasal spray and fentanyl test strips and training for that. And then we want to talk more about the harm reduction vending machine. If you guys have been following the media, they were on the front page of the Eau Claire Telegram. And so, and the proceeds from this benefit will be going to the Red House of Hope for the expansion to purchase a much needed community center.
All right, more with Melissa about that in the Chippewa Valley this week, this Sunday after 5 here on WWIB. Again, that's next Thursday night from 6 to 8 o'clock at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire. 71 degrees, quarter past 7, and our buddy Farmer John from Govan's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Farmer John, we are getting right into strawberry season here. It's time for a strawberry update. How's the crop looking? What are people saying when they come out to pick?
Right now they're saying it's pretty hot. The picking's great this year. The quality of the fruit, since we haven't had rain, you know, we irrigate underneath the soil, so everything above ground has been nice and dry all year. So the quality of the fruit this year is amazing.
I asked you off air, I'm like, did you try strawberries on your cereal this morning? And what did you tell me?
I told you I don't eat strawberries on my cereal, and I just walk around and eat strawberries in the field all day.
There you go. I know you put on your Facebook page as well, too, sometimes some different recipes, and I see one for a strawberry slush or strawberry slushy with, again, 3 to 4 cups of those Govan strawberries and some Sprite or lemonade. I mean, it just sounds like the perfect refreshing summer drink.
It is. Strawberries are such a summertime treat.
They really are. I mean, and again, it's just there's just something about this time of year, even with the heat, where we're, you know, enjoying those fresh strawberries and so many different options. I mean, again, whether it's the strawberry slushy, or I'm big on strawberry pie, or get me some, you know, again, June Dairy Month. How about some great whipped cream and put those strawberries, just dip them in that. I mean, I'm good to go.
Absolutely. One of my favorites, my wife makes a strawberry cream cheese pie, or, you know, June Dairy Month. Any way you can combine strawberries and dairy products is a great idea.
And so, again, emphasizing, get out there early. Obviously, the heat's still here for a couple more days. And so if you're not there, you know, certainly time to get out there today. You guys opened here top of the hour. But be thinking maybe even in terms of tomorrow early, or else, again, later in the day, 3 to 6, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or come on out this weekend if you're one of the few that doesn't seem to be at Country Fest. Come on out and pick some berries.
And again, the berries that folks can come out and pick, I mean, you're 7 a.m. to noon and 3 to 7 p.m., and is that 7 days a week while the crop lasts?
It is, but Fridays we close up at 6, and Saturdays and Sundays, our hours are a little different, 7 to 3 on Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday.
And we've talked about the pre-picked strawberries, but I don't know if we talked about in terms of the strawberry stands. I mean, Eau Claire, Menominee, you've got places people can find the strawberries from Govan's.
We do. You can pick up strawberries at the Senex in North Menominee by Walmart. And we did make it back to Eau Claire yesterday. We're over on Folsom at the Holiday Station.
Well, there you go. So, again, those pre-picked are available, but sometimes, I mean, I'm guessing they go pretty fast. So, usually I'd say Farmer John, probably the best bet if people want those big, ripe, luscious strawberries, and you've been mentioning just how great the crop is to stop on out or give you guys a call and come on out and pick some, and maybe even as a family, it can be a great activity.
Oh, it's a great family activity, and we love to have little kids in the patch. It creates an experience that they'll remember for a lifetime. If you want to make sure to get berries, don't just stop in at the farm. Call ahead and reserve them. It's always best.
Terrific. There you go. Farmer John, again, people can learn more, govansfarm.com, and strawberry picking continuing on. Keep enjoying those. What a great job to have. Just walking through the day, having strawberries at your leisure. All right, Caleb, we had the initial question yesterday about summer, but then you came up with another one.
Yeah, so we were asking this question on our social media last night. A lot of responses. If someone who has never been to Wisconsin was visiting, what place or places would you take them? We'd love to hear responses in your own words as well at 715-396-1670. Leave it in your own voice. Leave us a voicemail, 396-1670. But a lot of people, again, what are we proud of about our great state of Wisconsin? And a lot of people saying, yeah, here are places that I would take a visitor.
All right. Catherine says, it depends on the age. My niece from Georgia is coming with her kids, and we're going to the Wilderness Walk in Hayward.
Oh, yes. I've been there. It's been a long time, but I've been there when I was little. Kent says House on the Rock. That's where you take someone who's never been to Wisconsin before. Donna says Spooner Outlet in Spooner. Boy, I don't know that I've been. I need to be familiar.
I'm not familiar. Meanwhile, Mike says the forest, the Great Lakes, my backyard, and a fire. Yep, Wisco at its finest.
I mean, it is a great sometimes where it's like, hey, right where I live.
Yeah.
Heather says Madeline Island and Bayfield is where she'd take someone who's visiting Wisconsin for the first time. Kathy says Concrete Park in Phillips. I need to find out what that is.
Cheryl says any of our awesome cheese factories. And Pam says Irvine Park in Chippewa Falls.
Lois says Granddad's Bluff in La Crosse.
Oh, nice.
The Mississippi Queen River Cruise and a Friday night fish fry. That's iconic Wisconsin right there. And Lisa says the Ice Age Trails.
Caleb, forget taking a visitor. These are great things. Like, well, write all this down.
This is the thing. I'm getting
staycations.
Family ideas here. Yeah.
Yeah. Brenda says Lake Michigan in Manitowoc, Petrifying Springs Park, Pets Park in Kenosha County, Mars Cheese Castle in Kenosha, O&H Bakery in Racine, Oliver's Bakery in Kenosha. I like her thinking there. Wisconsin Dells in Door County. We got a lot going in Wisconsin.
We could plan our whole summer from Brenda's comment here. Again, we're asking folks here on Facebook, but also the listener line at 396-1670. If someone has never been to Wisconsin, they were visiting, what places would you take them? Maybe just a few more here. Jim says the Superior Wisconsin Lighthouses and the beautiful view there. And Morgan says Shift Coffee. I have not been there before, but
Yeah,
a lot of great coffee shops.
Downtown Eau Claire, there you go. Also, Sheila with Lake Wissota, Irvine Park, Cook Rutledge Mansion, and more. And Christina Lambeau Field.
I think we can just end with that one for now, too. We'd love to have more of your responses.
Yeah, you know, take them to American Family Field for a Brewers game, maybe, something like that.
Tailgate there.
Eau Claire Express right here. Carson Park in Eau Claire. Show them the Henry Aaron statue.
We asked this question last night. If someone who has never been to our state, someone who's never been to Wisconsin, was visiting, what place or places would you take them? What would you show them to show off the great state of Wisconsin? And a lot of great responses. Again, we'd love to continue hearing from you at 715-396-1670. Taking these from at WWIB Radio on Facebook. We went through a lot last hour, but here's some more. Starting with, I lost my place.
Renee,
here we go.
Yeah, Renee, Door County or Wisconsin Dells.
Yes. Shelley says Lake Superior, and Chris says Crystal Cave.
Also, Teresa, I'm confused. Texas, she says Texas. So if someone,
I don't know.
Maybe
I
mean, Texas people, Roadhouse? I don't know. It's a good restaurant.
I mean, people in Texas are very big on their state.
You take them to Texas.
I love it here. Kent says Devil's Lake State Park is an amazing place to take someone. Richard says the Harbor View Cafe in Pepin, kayak the Brule River, and attend Christian Music Festival or the EAA show.
Okay, I'm going to just go back because Rachel says Chatty Bell in Neillsville is the world's largest talking cow. I didn't know there was. Yeah.
How have I not been there? Neillsville's gorgeous.
Yeah. I don't know where you left off, so go ahead.
Ray also said kayaking the Chippewa River from Duran to Pepin is a nice leisure alternative and then go out to dinner afterward.
Did you say Jay said every Quick Trip in the state?
We haven't got down to Jay yet, but there's several votes for Quick Trip. As Susan says, Lake Superior and Lake Michigan tour. And Jamie says, Brewers game, Door County, up north, fishing, Lake Superior, cow tipping, and Camp Randall as well.
Yeah. I don't know if somehow we got our orders mixed here. But anyhow, Rick says Buena Vista Park in Alma. And Janet also says many places along the Great Lakes shoreline in Tilden area in the fall when the leaves are at their peak.
There you go. Beverly said so many great places to visit Wisconsin like Door County, the Apostle Islands, any of our state parks.
Yeah, so some great answers there. I think we did get one on the listener line, one or two, but Annette particularly had said if someone was visiting the Wisconsin, she'd show them the beautiful lakes and country stores. The Wib Wake Up Show, WWIB. What's in a name? Quite a bit, right?
So we found this list. Again, the Social Security Office tracks every new baby name. And so we found some names that used to be very popular for baby girls but aren't as popular now. And I thought, oh, you know what? This kind of is a walk down memory lane. Historical names that you still hear but naming them not quite as often.
Yeah, for instance, Betty is a name that actually, in terms of popularity, has been on a steady decline since 1940. But I'll tell you what, we love our listening friend, Betty Sittler. She was here recently to get her Wib mug, recovering from her knee surgery. So, Betty, we love you.
I remember Betty Oglesby taught me Sunday school when I was growing up. Great, Betty. How about the name Ethel? Strong showing during the 1890s. It hit eighth place. Again, the Social Security Office tracks all these things. Slipped to 12th in the 1900s, then dropped to 80th the following decade, and has never really got back into that position that it had before. Ethel.
Maybe just coincidence, but there's a Betty and an Ethel in the Archie comics. Okay. Meanwhile, how about Tammy? This female moniker skyrocketed out of nowhere in the 60s, landed in the 13th spot, but by the 90s, it was no longer in the top 200. And Tammy has all but disappeared since then.
That's surprising to me because I feel like I know a lot of Tammys.
Yeah.
I don't know. How about the name Dorothy in the 1920s? Dorothy was all the rage. This was before The Wizard of Oz. It peaked in the number two spot. Maybe that's what actually influenced Dorothy being the main character in The Wizard of Oz. But since then, you just don't hear this name as much. It slipped significantly in those rankings.
Ida. This classic name was the seventh most popular female name during the 1880s, going back in name history, but then slipped into disuse in subsequent decades. Ida.
Another one, Mildred, peaked at sixth place during the 1910s, held strong through the 1920s, but then a decline, pretty rapid decline after that. You don't hear Mildred nearly as much.
This is fascinating to me. Edna, it never quite reached the top 10, but it was a strong contender from the 1880s all the way through the 1920s before it started sounding old-fashioned. Edna.
Gladys managed to crack the top 20 at the turn of the century, but it dropped off by the 1910s. Again, we're going kind of way back in history with some of the most popular baby girl names from well over a century ago in a lot of cases.
Two more. Florence, for almost five decades, Florence, beautiful name, Florence Nightingale comes to mind, managed to stay in or very close to the top 20, but by the 1930s, Florence was losing favor.
And one more to talk about. Bertha, in the 1880s, this name was the eighth most popular female name for the entire decade, but then it took a slow downturn. Bertha, final name we're going through. Again, man, a lot of memories, too, and trying to think, do I know someone who has these names? Not all of them, but, yeah, a handful.
I said this to you off air. My grandmother, wonderful maternal grandmother, Evelyn, was born and named that way in 1910. And we named our daughter after her, and that's become like a top five name in popularity.
Well, some of those things you don't think about. So Nora is Eleanor, but then you start meeting more and more Eleanors as well, too. So,
and then the whole question, do you want a name that's really popular? it's the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB. Our daughter, Grace, she's like, oh, there's a lot of Graces out there.
We all need more Grace.
But Grace, you are amazing.